This podcast is brought to you by Contessa Digital.
You're listening to Things They Don't Tell Her. Everything you don't get taught about periods, pregnancy, and postpartum. I'm going to take you on a journey back to sex ed and teach you what really matters. Ladies, it's time you felt empowered in your bodies. I'm your host, Caitlin Pinder, founder of Her Women's Health, and I'm sharing tips to optimize your fertility, pregnancy, and postpartum journey. Today, I am jumping on here to talk all about stress urinary incontinence. So this is the technical fancy name for leaking urine when you increase intra-abdominal pressure. So this might be when you cough, sneeze, jump, run, stand up quickly, stand up off the toilet, all of these things, when there's an increase in pressure, can cause urinary leakage. So I want to talk about stress incontinence and explain to you why it can occur in pregnancy and postpartum and why you should not be putting up with it. So the statistic at the moment is 1 in 3 women will experience some degree of stress incontinence, which is really high. So that is a third of women. And this is something that we can easily address. It is in most cases treatable and preventable. So it can be really helpful to understand what causes it and how you can get on top of your symptoms so that you're not leaking later down the track and so that you don't have to put up with it for the rest of pregnancy or into postpartum years. So I want you to first visualize and understand the internal anatomy. So first of all, think of your pelvic bowl. So the whole pelvis is like a bowl. And then in the bowl, at the front, you have your bladder. So the bladder is like a funnel. It sits just behind your pubic bone, just above and behind. Next to that is your uterus. And behind that is your rectum and your anus. So if we kind of think about three, let's call them hoses, three little tubes, the front is the urethra. So extending off the bladder is the urethra where the urine will travel out through. Behind that is the vagina, and behind that is the rectum. So we think about three little hoses running parallel. The pelvic floor muscles, they run like a horseshoe, covering the entire bowl of the pelvis and creating this loop like a horseshoe, wrapping around all of your pelvic organs and attaching just behind the pubic bone at the front. Now, around the anus, there is a muscle known as the anal sphincter, and this helps you to control wind and to enable you to pass a bowel motion when it's convenient. However, around the urethra, which is the hose traveling out through the bladder where your urine comes out, there is no sphincter. So in order to maintain continence, the pelvic floor muscles, as I said, that wrap like a horseshoe, what they do is they contract and they pull all of those hoses close together, and they pull the tailbone in towards the pubic bone, and this creates a firm back wall. So if we think specifically about the urethra, the bladder hose, if you imagine putting a hose on the ground, and as your pelvic floor contracts, it's like treading on the hose. It stops the flow of water in the hose or urine in the bladder. So sometimes what happens during pregnancy and even early postpartum is the neural response, so the reflex that occurs, that triggers your pelvic floor to contract automatically, is lost. So pre-babies, often this is an automatic response. You don't have to think about contracting your pelvic floor when you cough, sneeze, jump, especially on the trampoline. However, after childbirth and sometimes in pregnancy, this reflex is lost, and then you actually have to have the power. So imagine the hose running along the ground. You have to have the power to be able to tread on that hose and stop the flow of water or urine, and the speed, because if you don't tread on it quick enough, a little bit of urine will trickle out. So this is quite common in pregnancy and early postpartum, and is an indication that the pelvic floor potentially is not powerful enough to completely splint close that urethra, or is not contracting with enough speed in order to completely splint the hose shut with that activity. So if you are experiencing some leakage in pregnancy or early postpartum, the first thing to consider is, can you quickly contract your pelvic floor, and do you have power and strength behind that contraction? So trying to contract the pelvic floor on and off, see if you can keep up with my counts. So let's really focus around the front passage. So either standing up or sitting down, I want you to close your eyes down and really bring awareness to the pelvic floor muscles, but particularly the pelvic floor around the front passage. See if you can contract and relax, keeping up to my counts for 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Now, if you struggled with that, it is something that you might need to focus on. And now let's think about the overall power. So closing the eyes down again, I want you to concentrate on the pelvic floor. See if you can do a maximum contraction. So a maximal pelvic floor squeeze, contract as strong and as tight as you possibly can, and then release. Now I want you to notice if you were tensing your inner thighs, squeezing your bottom, or holding your breath. These are common adaptive strategies that I see clients use. And if, for example, you sneeze and you're standing up, then you might not have the ability to quickly contract your glutes in order to compensate. If you are sneezing or coughing or running or exercising, you're breathing sometimes quite heavily. And if you are using the adaptive strategy of holding your breath, then it is very unlikely that you're going to be able to maintain that contraction if you are having, for example, a coughing fit or a sneezing fit. So in order to get on top of stress incontinence, the first thing that I want you to consider is, can you contract your pelvic floor quickly? And can you contract it powerfully without using adaptive strategies? If you're struggling with these things, I would highly recommend checking in with a pelvic floor physio and having your pelvic floor assessed, because then you can have an individually tailored program. The pelvic floor can be anywhere on a spectrum from overactive to underactive, and I've talked about this in previous episodes. So having an idea of where you sit on that spectrum. If your pelvic floor is underactive, you might not have the power behind the contraction to splint that hose shut. But if it is potentially overactive, meaning that you don't know how to switch it off, it may be fatigued, which means that, for example, if you imagine if I gave you a 2 kilo dumbbell and I said, can you hold this above your head for as long as you can? And you're holding the dumbbell above your head and your arm is really starting to fatigue. It's been an hour, it's been 2 hours. And eventually you're like, I can't do this anymore. And you pop the dumbbell down. And then I say to you, hey, can you catch this heavy object or this ball? Your ability to react quickly when the muscle is so fatigued will be a lot more poor. So if your pelvic floor is always switched on, it also may not be able to contract quickly or work and function optimally. So as I said, the first most common cause of stress incontinence in pregnancy and early postpartum is poor pelvic floor speed or poor pelvic floor power in order to splint close that hose, which is the urethra that we spoke about. Now, the second cause is when we're holding our breath or creating too much of an increase in intra-abdominal pressure. So if you imagine the belly as a water balloon, if you tense and squeeze the tummy and hold the breath, so think about the water balloon, our respiratory diaphragm, which is the dome-shaped muscle sitting underneath our rib cage, that's like the top of the balloon. You've got the pelvic floor at the bottom, the deep tummy muscles at the front, and the deep back muscles at the back. And when you hold your breath and tense your tummy, it's like squeezing the top of that water balloon. And if there is some weakness in the pelvic floor, then that's potentially going to cause some incontinence. So I love to tell this story for anyone who listens, who watches the tennis. Female tennis players used to have a lot of issues with urinary incontinence. And this is because they would take a deep breath. They would hold their breath, tense their tummy, as I said, and as they hold their breath, the diaphragm descends and then tense their tummy. And that's like squeezing around the top of a water balloon. The pressure would go to the weakest point, which for these women happened to be their pelvic floors. And it wasn't necessarily that their pelvic floors were super duper weak. It was just that it couldn't withstand against this amount of pressure. So what they did is they taught the tennis players to make those sounds, because this is like opening a pressure valve. Then it allows the air to travel out through the mouth to drain that pressure. So if you're experiencing a little bit of leakage, for example, with sneezing or coughing or lifting your toddler or lifting at the gym or doing core exercises, it's important to check in and see if you're managing your intra-abdominal pressure. I once actually had a client who she just popped bubs down, and she was she had a coughing fit, but she was trying to be really quiet, so she was kind of keeping the cough really low and quiet, so there was not much air coming out through the mouth, not much sound coming out. And so this was causing her to leak because all the pressure was going down towards the pelvic floor. So, you know, being audible when you make these sounds, like when you're coughing, allowing the air to travel out, when you're sneezing, making an audible sound, when you're lifting something heavy like a pram or a toddler, making sure that you're breathing and that you're not holding your breath to reduce the amount of squeeze on the balloon at the top, so that the pelvic floor doesn't have to work quite so hard to maintain that continence and to prevent the leaking. The next cause can be to do with prolapse or laxity in one of the, either the bladder wall. So we talked about the bladder being a funnel. Sometimes, especially early postpartum or after an instrumental or vaginal delivery, there can be a little bit more laxity, which means movement in that bladder wall, which can create a little bit of the bladder. If we think about a funnel, think about the funnel kind of tilting on an angle. It causes some of the wall of the bladder to start to descend a little bit down into the vagina. Or we can have a little bit of laxity of the urethra, so that hose can be a little bit loose. Now, early on, this is quite common and it's not necessarily a cause of concern. It just means that we have to have that additional strength in the pelvic floor to be able to support those organs. Why it makes it harder to control continence is because if you think about the hose, if you tread on the hose and it's on a solid surface, it's quite easy to stop the flow of water. But if you put that hose on a trampoline and then you try and tread on it, it's going to take a lot more power. It's almost, in some cases, going to be very, very difficult to completely splint shut that hose. So in the case of significant pelvic organ prolapse, or in the case where there has been a tear to the pelvic floor, potentially due to a hand-assisted delivery, a forcep delivery, or vacuum-assisted, where they've had to stretch the pelvic floor more than physiologically it may have, This can cause a tear to the pelvic floor muscle. So think about the bowl of the pelvis. If a little part of the pelvic floor is torn, then we're not necessarily getting as much power and contraction in that muscle. Or if there's a little bit of laxity in those walls, then, as I said, it's going to be much harder to splint shut. So this is where things like pessaries, which is kind of like the closest thing that you could visualize is like a menstrual cup, except it's often a ring shape that's inserted into the vagina just to hold and give that bladder wall a little bit of support. Or there is something called a contiform, which provides a little bit of additional support to the urethra and the bladder neck. So this is particularly relevant if you're having significant amounts of urinary leakage early on after childbirth and you had an instrumental delivery. I would highly recommend booking in with the pelvic floor physio to make sure you get on top of this early. This is like, imagine if you had a knee injury, like an ACL tear, an MCL tear, and you went into a brace. You might wear the brace for a couple of weeks just to give you that additional support as the tissue integrity improves and as you build more strength in the supporting muscles, which might be particularly in the bowl of the pelvis, that's the pelvic floor and the gluteals. So these are the main causes that I see of stress incontinence, which can be in pregnancy, it can be early postpartum, it can be long-term during menopause or late postpartum. So all of these things will hopefully help you to get to the bottom of why you're leaking. And then, of course, we need to start to make it functional, and the exercises have to be targeted to wherever you are experiencing the leakage. So I've had clients who are only getting leakage when they jump or skip. And sometimes it's only after like three double unders or a specific exercise. And they've got good ability to contract quickly when they're sitting and standing, but they've lost that functional reflex that is telling their brain to contract the pelvic floor in that certain task. So that is where our exercise program needs to be really specifically tailored to that task. We need to be focusing on being able to contract the pelvic floor in that activity. So if it's jumping, you know, we might start by practicing a little jump off the floor, just coming onto the tippy toes, contracting the pelvic floor, lowering the heels back down, relaxing the pelvic floor, lifting onto the toes, contracting, and then lowering down. And then over time, we start to integrate that into the exercise. So practice jumping a few times while holding and maintaining that recruitment. Now, a lot of women who I work with, they ask if, especially early on, if they're experiencing some leakage and we start to do a lot of pelvic floor retraining, if, you know, that carries over into every task and if they have to think about contracting their pelvic floor every time they go for a run or think about it every time they are in the gym. And this is not the case. You shouldn't be necessarily consciously thinking about contracting the whole time that you're doing that activity. But by training it in tasks similar, so like a running on the spot or jumping on the spot, we are starting to retrain that reflex response. And once we've performed that task with the activation over 1,000 times, then it will start to become a reflex and an automatic response again. So it just takes lots and lots and lots of repetition early on to retrain that task, and then that should start to carry over into the gym, into running, without actually having to consciously think and contract the pelvic floor. So if you are pregnant or postpartum or postmenopause or even preconception and you're having any leakage of any kind during any activity, I would highly recommend booking in for a pelvic floor physio assessment, either in person or over telehealth, to get some education, advice, and direction on a pelvic floor assessment so that we can eliminate this and ensure that long-term you maintain full optimal control of your bladder. I will leave a booking link in the show notes, and please don't hesitate to reach out.
Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Don't forget to subscribe and share this with other pregnant women or other women that you think deserve to understand this information. It is my mission to share this knowledge with women because this is something that I believe that we should all be taught.